Our epistle for this third Sunday in Lent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becomes saints, or obscenity, our foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words. For because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. At that time Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he cast out devils. And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon, and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house, which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last man of the state becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass as he was saying these things that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, continuing with our meditation on the seven last words of our Lord, we find ourselves on that hilltop of Calvary. First Sunday, we considered the different groups of people that were there. You had the small contingency of the faithful that surround the cross. You had the criminals on either side. And you had the mockers and the gawkers and the enemies of Christ all around. And the executioners gambling on Christ's garments. Last Sunday, we considered conversion of the good thief, St. Dismas. And as we find ourselves on that mountaintop, it is important that we make this a reality. Because if we really believe what we say we believe, then we are forced to say that when we go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we are on that hilltop. It is represented to us. This is traditional Catholicism. Open up the Catechism Council of Trent or the Baltimore Catechism. And so we're there. There's an opportunity, the same opportunity that all those that were on Calvary have, you and I have right now. But this is where we have to come to the grips of, if I really believe what I say I believe, then it affects me. Those that say, oh yeah, yeah, I believe, and they don't change their life, live a lie. And when you live a lie and you call it faith, you have no hope. And you can't hope to grow in love for God. It's impossible. Christ himself says it. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's a choice that we must make. Can't just say, I believe. Our Lord says it very clearly. Not he who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not my words, his words. And if we try to make religion out to be anything other than that, and the seeking after the truth, and conforming our life to the truth, then we live a lie. A lie. Because we can't be a part of the truth. Christ in today's gospel says it. He who is not with me is against me. You are either with me or you are against me. And that takes a choice. We live in a day and age where we're told that a choice is about justifying, contorting, and twisting what we call the truth to make it our own personal truth. And that's hogwash. It is not the truth. Christ himself says as much to the apostles before he goes to the garden, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't change. But this takes a hard thing for us to do. But to be brutally honest with ourselves, and that it takes true humility as we stand on that hilltop of Calvary. And as we said today, we do, if we really believe what we say we believe when we go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we're forced to look up at the crucifix and acknowledge what we see. What is it that I see? Oh, we can water it down and say, oh, God so loved the world to send his only begotten Son, and the Son so loved that he died for us because he loves us. Oh yeah, that's nice. There's something greater that we have to take personal that's important for a true conversion. And we have to take a look at that dying God-made man on the cross and say, that is the result of my sin. You want to really bring this lesson home? Turn your gaze from the man on the cross. Notice who he's looking at. Follow his gaze down and look upon his mother at the cross, her station keeping. Look into her eyes and justify what has been justified in the past. Justify coming to church, going to confession, and going home and doing the same old, same old. It's not true. That's not true conversion. That's a game. And our faith is a lie if we play that game. No. When you take a look at the mother, and the mother's looking at the son, and mother, the Holy Mother of the Church calls her the co-redemptrix, because she was there going through an amazing amount of pain. The exclamation point was the word she heard from our Lord, which were his third word, his third sermon from the cross. Woman, behold thy son. And then to us, son, behold your mother. Look at what your sin is doing. Now, why did this wound her so much? Well, because things were changing. And change hurts. Conversion is not an easy process. It's a difficulty. And if we are brave enough to go through it, and we have the humility enough to go through it, we will witness that. But in the end, there's glory. Because it's promised. But for her, in order for her to get to the resurrection, she must be willing to die 1,000 times, nay, 1,000,000. God gave her away. The God-man gave up his mother to be our mother. She was asked to give up the perfect son for the sinner, for you and me. Behold your mother. Simeon, way back, and the Lord was presented in the temple, told our Blessed Mother about this moment. Thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that many hearts may be revealed. What's revealed? those that really love God and those that just don't. They say they do, perhaps some of them. Some of them hate him, but they just don't. Because if they did, their lives would change. That's why St. Paul says in today's epistle, be imitators of God as very dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. So now it comes to this point, my dear friends in Christ. What's our choice going to be? What decision are we going to make? How are we going to change? Are we going to let the moments of grace here as Calvary is represented to us, let it go to waste again? What an infinite waste if we do. No, my dear friends, there is one sure and hopeful way to realize our purpose and to make that change. Behold your mother. Perfect your devotion to your mother, especially when you consider your heavenly mother, especially when you consider where she became our mother, the spiritual birth pains that she went through and was willing to go through on Calvary. Her fiat wasn't just some word that she said 33 years before, it was the word that she said 33 years before that was perfected through the years. As she recommitted to God's will. When the angel Gabriel came to her and asked her to be the mother of God, and she said, Fiat mihi, secundum verbum tuum, be it done unto me according to thy will. Every day was a recommitment to that. Behold your mother. Follow her example. Recommit. Let's not live the life where we stand up on Holy Saturday, he said, do you renounce Satan? Yes, I renounce him. And all his works? Yes, I renounce him. And all his pomps? Yes, I do renounce them. And then we go home and play around with the things of the devil. We don't get rid of occasions of sin. And we endanger ourselves of an eternity where we're not meant to be. But if you're close to our Blessed Mother, if you strive to perfect your devotion to her, she always leads you to him. If you kneel before her, never was it known that anyone who fled to her for protection, implored her help, or sought her intercession was left unaided, ever. We can look at the insurmountable mountain of our imperfections and sins and think, what's the use? Oh, to us, yes, it's insurmountable. But when we cry out and hold our hand up to her, our life, our sweetness, and our hope, the Mother of Mercy, that mountain is nothing. As we continue along with our Lent, let us recommit to God's will. And it says in the end of the Gospel today, a lady lifts up her voice and praises his mother. Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. And he says, yea, rather. Yeah, she's blessed. But not because of that. Anybody can be a mother physically. Any woman can be a mother physically. But to be a spiritual mother is a whole different ballgame. And she wasn't blessed because she was a mother. She was blessed because she heard the word of God and she kept it. And she's willing to help us do the same thing. Hear the word of God and keep it. Behold your mother. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.